are back. Here we are. You know, we're wishing everybody a happy new year. Hope everybody enjoyed the holidays, the World Juniors, you know, Canada winning gold, and then the women's also winning gold. Just a fucking golden scenario up north here, bud.
I mean, and Connor Bedard just being a god.
Oh, fuck. The only reason they made it to that gold medal game is because of Bedard. He put the team on his back, and he's like, I got this, boys.
Oh, my God. That goal against Slovakia, like, haunts my dreams in the best way possible. I can't even imagine how those defensemen feel. Like, they're going to be haunted by that replay for the rest of their life.
that was one of the most clutch goals ever. Like, can you imagine how different the narrative would be if they lost that game?
Oh, that would have been the biggest upset in, like, history of that tournament.
And they were literally one goal away from the exact opposite.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
So, like, yes, I'm happy they won gold, but I'm like, man, I'm taking that with a grain of salt because you guys were so close to fucking up.
But they didn't.
Because of Connor Bedard. Because of one player.
You know who, before we get into the Leafs here, you know who didn't impress me at all?
Shane Wright.
Yeah.
Same.
He did not impress me at all. Like,
he didn't do shit. Like, yes, I'll give it. He scored a goal in the gold medal game. But he did fuck all going up to that.
Like, yeah, but like, I can see why he dropped to fourth.
Well, that and his attitude. I mean, anybody who says, oh yeah, I deserve to go first overall, I deserve that honor. I'm like, dude, that comment alone dropped you to fourth.
It's true.
Nobody wants that on their team. You want a guy who's like, oh, you know, there's a lot of great guys in this draft. It would be a real honor for me to go first, but, you know, it could be anybody's. That's the response you need.
It was really funny for him to glare at the Habs for not picking him, and then he scored.
And scored his first goal.
That is pretty funny.
See, now I'm kind of rooting for him because he's going to be an absolute Hab killer.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is, like, Seattle's, like, too good for him to make the team, which, like, no one expected this season to. No.
Well, maybe that's why it was best that he goes back to the World Juniors.
Oh, 100% that's why. That's why he went back to Kingston. Actually, 3-3 just got traded.
He did get traded.
But, like, he was only playing, like, 6-7 minutes a night, if he was even in the lineup. You know, like, that's not good for a player's development of that age. You know,
no, go let him dominate the O. And if he's not dominating the O, then that's a red flag.
Yeah, like, literally give him the Marner treatment. Like, we didn't try to force Marner into the NHL after we drafted him fourth overall. We sent him back to the OHL, where he set all the records and won everything possible. He literally won, like, the MVP, the scoring race, the world. Like, he won everything.
And did you see on social media, it's like, who's the guy who never shuts up about their junior career? And everybody names Mitch.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, everybody hears about the Mem Cup. But the funniest thing was Austin Matthews. Like, those OHL guys, I swear they're like a cult. I'm like, yeah, they definitely are. Because it's funny, because then they went to JT, and JT's like, I'd love to talk about my junior career. Maybe it's a like...
I mean, he did have a hell of a junior
career. Yeah. exceptional status. Like,
but Shane Wright is seeming like one of the blemishes on the exceptional status.
Was he granted exceptional status?
Pretty sure he was, yeah.
I didn't think so.
I could be wrong.
If he was, then that's, like, real bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yikes.
Yeah, he was given an exceptional status as a young teenager to play in the big leagues. Following the likes of Connor McDavid, John Tavares, and Aaron Ekblad, Joe Valeno, and Sean Day. So they are in the Joe Valeno, and he's in the Joe Valeno, Sean Day.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's a big drop-off there. Yeah. It's like you're going to be really good, or you're going to be nobody.
Pretty much. All right, so we got a fuck ton of games to get through. So we should do a little bit of rapid fire. We'll go each game, list out the score, quick comments, and on to the next one.
Let's go.
All right. Game one, December 3rd against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Leafs lose 4-3 in overtime. this is actually one of the games you actually watched. So what were your thoughts?
Oh, sorry, I'm just trying to think back. You said December 3rd.
December 3rd, yes. This is the game where John Tavares had the giveaway in overtime to Alex Killorn, and they won.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks losing to Tampa, especially because, well, we already know we're going to face them in the first round again. This is the shitty thing about divisional format, but I digress. I mean, I thought it was a good effort, and it's always tough against Tampa. But, I mean, we've just been cursed in overtime this year. Like, we've been really bad in OT this year, which is not good.
Although we did win the two overtimes after that game.
Yeah, well, those were like our first two wins of the season.
It's true. But the thing is, though, about the overtimes is, like, it's not even that we play bad. It's that we shoot ourselves in the foot.
Oh,
every
yeah.
Every fucking time.
We literally just make... It's textbook. We try a cute play that's too much, that compromises possession, and gives it up, and then they'll have the puck for like a minute or two, and then they make something happen, or we give it up, and then they just go down and score.
Yeah, they literally score immediately. And that was the case in this one. It's literally John Tavares breaking out, makes an incoherent pass, and trying to break out, give away in the net.
No, and that's it. Like, all our big guys are guilty of it, too. Like, Tavares is guilty of it, Marner's guilty of it, Matthews is guilty of it, Nylander's guilty of it. Like,
yeah. No, it puck management needs to get better. It's been one of the common themes of this Leafs team, is that when we lose, typically we lose to ourselves. Like, there's not that many games this season, generally, even throughout the games we're going to go over today, there's not that many games where, like, the Leafs just did not show up in that game. There's a couple. There's definitely a few over the season, but there's not that many. But the ones that we lose are typically where the Leafs had a chance, and then they gave up a free goal because they did something stupid.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, that game was a perfect example. All right. On to the next game. December 8th versus the Los Angeles Kings. Leafs win 5-0.
You know, it's always great to see a shutout.
Pretty sure that was the first shutout of the season, too.
Was this the back-to-back ones? Like Murray and then Samsonov?
Oh, no, I forgot that happened, so no, this is not that. Oh, no, yeah, that was a good one. This is a Samsonov shutout, though. The 29 saves shutout.
Well, as a fantasy owner of Murray, I'm less excited about the Samsonov shutout.
Well, as a fantasy owner of Samsonov, I'm super excited about the shutout.
But I mean, it was also payback on the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, didn't we lose to them earlier in the season?
We did. Yeah, we did.
And I don't think they forgot that. And that, like, this was payback in a big way.
I also loved that the goal scoring in this game started in the second, but it started from the bottom half of the lineup. You got a goal from Engvall. You got a goal from Kampf. Assist going to Connor Timmins, Kerfoot, Holmberg, and Brody. Literally all bottom half of the lineup except for Brody, and that's a great sign to see is depth scoring. And it's the one thing we've kind of missed out a lot in this year because of how well the top four have played. And so we need more of that. And that's actually a common theme we're going to see across this run here of 15 games is that when the big boys don't show up, there's often times that we lose. And this was one of those times where, everyone showed up. It was kind of great.
It's rare to see. Usually, like, there's at least one or two guys fucking off.
I mean, in that game, LA just played like hot garbage too. Like, they were not in that game at all. Like, that game was over by the end of the second period. You know? But it was good to see. Then we move into Saturday, December 10th versus the Calgary Flames, where we won 5-4 in overtime.
We finally won an OT game.
Yeah, and back-to-back games with five goals.
There you go. So the offense is moving.
Finally. Austin Matthews getting on the board, Nylander getting on the board twice, Bunting, Marner. This is a game where the big boys carried us, you know? Like, literally. The only point in this game that was not from one of the big boys was Sandin. And he had 2 points. We had Matthews with a goal and two assists, or one assist. Yeah, Nylander had three assists, looks like, maybe even four. Tavares had multiple points. Like, it's just, yeah, the big boys are carrying this game hard. And, well, it was a tough night for Murray, but the Leafs got the dub. That's important.
Yeah, I remember watching this, and I'm like, you know what? Those are some brutal numbers, but I'll take the W because I needed
it. Well, because we kind of, this was where we started to kind of go into that little bit of a lull goaltending wise, where the two goalies started to come back to earth a little bit and level the numbers out.
Yeah.
Which we kind of expected. It sucked that it happened to both of them at the same time. Yeah. And so, hence, you know, the back-to-back losses after this. I think the New York game on the 15th, we got goalied. You know, Shesterkin stood in his head.
Yeah, he did. Like, we should have won that game.
Yeah, that's tough. And then the 17th against Washington, Leafs just played like trash that night.
That was one of their worst games.
Yeah, they just didn't show up that night. Now, the
but hey, at least against Anaheim, that was another payback game. This was like the California Revenge Tour. Because... remember, we lost in overtime against Anaheim with Zegras getting the goal.
Yeah, but that game was in November.
No.
I'm December 13th. There is no December 13th game.
It's Tuesday, December 13th versus Anaheim. We won 7-0 against Anaheim.
Why is that not on my schedule here?
Well, maybe your schedule is wrong, but it happened. I remember.
Cool.
7-0. Remember, we fucking pummeled them.
Oh right, yeah. No, what the hell? What that literally skips that game on my schedule here, and I'm looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs schedule for December. That's so weird.
Because, you know, Anaheim doesn't count.
I guess they're just so bad they didn't even feel like showing it.
Well, it was nice to get payback on that. I was like, why are you skipping this game? I was like, this is a good one.
Yeah, my bad. but then we go into December 17th, which is the Capitals. And the only thing I was happy about in this game is that Ovi didn't tie the record against us.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I was happy about, because otherwise Leafs played like trash. Trash. It was bad across the board. There was no redeeming factors in that game for anyone. I don't even care that we scored two goals. Like, the game was bad. Bad. Just bad. But the one thing... Connor Timmins, in that game, gets his sixth assist since coming over. You know? Okay, I know last night was rough, all right? But he missed a lot of games where he played fantastic.
I've got some opinions about Connor Timmins.
Is it all entirely based off of last night's or last Saturday's game?
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Saturday night was bad for him.
Yeah, he's had a few bad ones. It's been... We'll get into it. We'll get into
it. He makes a good first pass and gets a lot of assists because of it.
Well, that's nice, and we'll get into it.
So after the Washington game, we faced the Flyers, which...
Tampa. No, you're missing a lot of games. Tampa, 4-1 victory, December 20th.
Why are these games not on my schedule?
Okay, I don't know what schedule you're using. It's fucking bootleg.
I'm using TSN.
So am I. It shows it here.
I'm so confused.
4-1 win against Tampa.
Go for it. Take the lead.
Well, the problem is I can't click into it to see what happened. But it was a 4-1 win. I can see that.
Oh, my God. 4-1 win. All right. Yeah. Okay. I got it. So Bunting scored, Matthews scored, Engvall and Nylander. A pretty dominant win, actually. Leafs outshot them 40-19. So really big dub, actually.
Really big dub. We can't skip over really big dubs.
I know, but look at your WhatsApp. I literally just sent you a screenshot of what I'm looking at, and both those games are just not there.
Fuck, it is just skipping games. That's 5 days between games. They wouldn't have that.
I know, it's weird. I don't know what's going on, but it is what it is. Okay, cool. So is the Flyers game is actually the next one. Okay.
There you go.
I'm gonna be sure of these things now. And this game should not have been as close as it was. The Flyers are bad.
They're very bad.
Bad. And the fact that we were up 4-1 and then let it get as close as it did was scary. It was scary.
Yeah, talk about defensive breakdowns.
And this was also a game where it was not a great game by Samsonov, even though he got the win.
Kind of like that Murray game.
Yeah. Well, it's the same. This is where like they both started kind of going into a lull, because even the next game against St. Louis, we still let in 4 goals. We may have got the dub in OT, which is great, but we still let in 4 goals, right? And that's four games in a row where we let in 4+ goals, you know, from Washington, Philly, St. Louis, and Arizona. Right, like, so not great team scoring a lot of goals on us. It's not good.
Speaking of not great team scoring a lot of goals on us, how about us losing to fucking Arizona, the Mullet Arena? Like,
honestly, I feel like the arena was part of the problem. You can fucking see anything. It's so bad. I cannot believe that they have allowed this to be a thing in the NHL
for another year after this.
For more than another year, it's like 4 years. It's like 3 years they're going to be there.
Oof!
It's such a fucking travesty for this league. Like 5,000 seats in the NHL. That's like a fucking junior rink. The Marlies
have less than a junior rink.
The Marlies get more attendance than that. Like it's crazy. It's so bad.
London Knights have double that attendance.
Yeah, that's. It's just such a, it's honestly embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the league. And, you know, in classic Toronto fashion, we just suck against Arizona. I don't know what the fuck is going on with that. We just cannot beat them. It doesn't make any sense, especially when we go into the next game against Colorado and absolutely fucking stomp them.
Although Colorado has struggled this year. They are not the same. They are really missing Nazem Kadri, who was one of their best players last year.
Well, they've been just injury riddled too, because like Nichushkin has been injured all year. They literally just got McKinnon back. Bowen Byram has been injured all year.
Pretty sure you this know? Was McKinnon's. Was this McKinnon's first game back?
It was McKinnon's first game back. Yeah, and not great for him. but no, it was a dominant win by the Leafs, anyways. Like that, they played really, really well. And as much as, you can say that the Avs were hurt and whatever, this was a dominant showing by the Maple Leafs. Like, they didn't really stand a chance. And then we have our revenge. Well, I guess they're... Whatever. It's not even revenge. It's revenge for them, I guess. St. Louis states it as again. And somehow we let in five goals again against St. Louis. I don't know why we can't defend against this team that typically doesn't score that much.
We let in six.
Well, shootout.
Yeah. Right. Well.
Yeah.
We don't go to many shootouts.
This was the first one of the season. First one, actually, in the last two seasons, I think. We didn't have one last year at all, I don't think. If we did, we might have had one. But, like, we don't have them often because we usually give it away in overtime.
You would think that it's because, because we have so much speed and skill, we just win in 3-on-3. It's like, nope, because we are just irresponsible in 3-on-3.
But I did see a comment from Connor McDavid this week calling the NHL out for a rule change to get rid of the shootout.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I love it. I love it. Use your fucking platform, man. Get rid of this garbage.
He's like, I don't think anybody really wants to win a game like that. I'm like, thank you. Just make it 10 minutes, 3-on-3, and you will never see a shootout again.
In my opinion, the World Cup actually shined a brighter light on how bad it is to end a game like on that than anything else. Think about it. Like, almost every big decision game for Croatia going into the World Cup was a penalty kick. Brazil gets eliminated on penalty kicks. The fucking World Cup decided on penalty kicks. Like, is that really how you want to decide the biggest sporting event in the world?
Well, and like, that's it. Especially in soccer, where guys are running around for fucking 90 minutes. at least, right? Yeah, like, and there's all this anticipation. There's not very many goals. And then, you know, all that time, all that effort comes down to one fucking kick.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's just bad. I don't like it at all. I think there's a lot of ways you can improve that game, but it's the thing.
It's the same problem.
It's the same principle. Absolutely same principle. And I really, really dislike that that's how we decide a game. You know, it just, it doesn't sit right with me that a skills competition decides a game.
Yeah, I was going to say, save the shootouts for the skills competition.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, people are like, oh, but breakaways are in a game. Sorry, not breakaways. Penalty shots. But it's like, penalty shots are not comparable.
And they're, like, fucking unicorns. They are so rare.
I would also say there's way more pressure on a penalty shot than a shootout.
Oh, yeah.
For the player and the goalie.
Because it counts as one goal. The shootout is all just fucking fluff. It doesn't even count towards anybody's stats.
For nothing. It's literally pointless. It's just a waste of fucking time and effort. And they're like, oh, but the overtime will take too much time. And it's like, have you ever watched overtime?
At 3-on-3 especially?
You give it an extra 5 minutes and 99% of those are ending.
Well, that's what I said. Just make it 10 minutes. You don't have to get rid of the shootout. If you just want to get it done with, keep it. But just make it 10 minutes OT. You'll never see the shootout.
Yeah, you'll weed it out. It'll become like fighting. You'll see it once in a blue moon.
No, exactly. And then it's like, at that point, after 10 minutes of 3-on-3, people are like, all right, let's just get this over with.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get to the game that I was at. Right? Oof.
Tough one to be at.
I mean, at least I didn't pay for it. I would have been a lot more mad if I had paid to go to watch that hot garbage. That was another one of the games this year where the Leafs just did not have it. They just didn't show up. They were bad right from the start. And the Kraken have been rolling, man. Like, they rolled right through Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Boston.
Actually,
they're on a 7-game winning streak. They just, for the first time ever in NHL history, had a road trip of 7 games and won every game.
I actually bet on them to beat Boston, and I won.
Wow, that's been a nice winning, too.
Yeah, the odds were pretty good.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, man, but, like, that was a tough game to watch. Thank God the World Juniors was on at the same time, and I was watching on my phone while...
Well, I honestly think that contributed, because the Leafs players spoke out and saying, like, you know, we're bummed that we don't get to watch the gold medal game.
Yeah.
Because we've been tracking this the whole
time. Imagine they were all watching it on the iPads on the bench.
I bet they fucking were. It's like, no wonder they fucking got their asses kicked. Their heads aren't in it. They're like, is House Canada doing?
That's exactly what I was feeling. Like, I was literally just like, it was, that was a tough watch. Then we walk into Detroit and shit on them as we should. Because Detroit's bad.
Detroit is bad.
They're not good. And they had some nobody in net, frickin' Hellberg or whatever his name is. So, like, done. Then we walk into Philly, and we did what we should have done to Philly the other time, and absolutely spanked their butt. Just spanked them. Spanked them real good. On the second half of back-to-back for that, too, which is kind of nice. And this was another night where it was all of the other guys coming through, you know? Similar to the Kings game we talked about earlier, you know, you have a goal from Cal Yarncroc, a goal from Aston Reese, a goal from Connor Timmins, and a goal from Timothy Liljegren. Like, that's not depth scoring. I don't know what is. Obviously, JT and Matthews score afterwards. But, like, that's good depth scoring there. And Cal Yarncroc with a 3-point night.
Yo. Nice. Fucking unreal. Like, I fucking called it at the beginning of the year that this guy is going to be a hidden gem for the Leafs. And I think it'll especially show in playoffs. This isn't some rookie we picked up. This is a seasoned vet. He's been in the league a long time. He is what he is. And he's going to be a valuable asset come playoff time.
I still think he's better served as part of a third line checker than being a second line scorer. Obviously he's been a nice stopgap in there. But I think the Leafs need to make a swing here for that top six left winger. Like and there's plenty out there. I think we could probably make a swing with the assets we have.
Well,
because
The thing about Cal Yarncrow is he's kind of like Alex Kerfoot in the sense that he's kind of a Swiss Army knife.
But then you end up with the same problem as Alex Kerfoot, where like he's a nice like Band-Aid, but he's not the solution to your problems.
You know? No, that's why he's on the third line.
Exactly, but we'd agree. I don't know if you agree, but I would say that our ideal third line would be Camp, Kerfoot, and Yarncrock. I think your fourth line would be like Holmberg, Engvall, and whoever.
Aston Reese,
yeah. There you go, right? So there you have a bottom six that's solid, and you slot like a Bo Horvat or a
Patrick. Yeah, Green. Right. We're not getting Bo Horvat. Like, the asking price for Bo Horvat is out of this world. He's having a career year.
It's true.
Like, we can't afford him.
You never know. Vancouver's run by morons.
This is true.
But speaking to Cal Yarncrock, the next game after the Philly game, he faced Nashville, his former team, where he played a long, long time. And it was great to come out and get a win there on a game where the Leafs didn't really have it. And that was a game where Matt Murray was in the net for that one, right?
I believe so.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the one where Murray just, yeah. He had 32 saves on 33 shots, a 970 save percentage. Just like that was a game where the Predators got goalied because like the Leafs had no business being in that game, no business. And Murray stood on his head, and it was really, really great to see. Because we don't reverse goalie people very often here in Leaf Nation.
But man, when Murray's on, he's fucking elite.
Yeah, found money. I mean, I still think it's hilarious that the Senators paid us to take him.
Quite literally.
Like, literally paid us to take him. And are still paying him. He's the highest paid goaltender on their roster.
I can't believe Ottawa thought that Cam Talbot was going to be the solution to all their problems.
Cam Talbot, who was a decent goalie for Minnesota, who were hyper-defensive for so long.
Yeah, but they thought Cam Talbot with Thomas Chabot being your only good defenseman would be the solution.
No, their defense is
abysmal.
It's bad.
it might be the worst in the league. Aside from maybe Anaheim.
It's funny because they can score. They can score a lot of goals. Like, if you look at the Senators' games, a lot of them are really high scoring because they can put the puck in the net, but they have no chance keeping the puck out of their net. But they're an interesting team. Like, I don't know what they're going to do because they're really bad again. And they signed all these guys to these really big contracts. And,
let's just hope they don't get Bedard.
Honestly, I'm more scared that Montreal's going to get Bedard.
Let's hope they don't get Bedard either. Send him to the West.
Because they also have the Florida pick. Mm. And if Florida misses, that gives them two chances.
But, come on, Florida.
Yeah. All right, we got two more games to cover here. One was on Thursday, the second half of back-to-back, facing the Red Wings again.
This
was a brutal game.
Oh, one of the worst games that we've played.
Yeah. It was bad. It was really bad.
The only redeeming factor is that I have Ville Husso.
Oh, my God. But, like, the Leafs might have outshot the Red Wings, but, like, they were not crisp. They were making poor decisions. Like, it was just...
Just never be giving up four goals to the Red Wings.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. And then we get into a Saturday night's game.
Fucking grinds my gears. We had it.
We did.
We fucking had it, man.
JT blew it again.
Okay, well, how about Ullmark throwing his fucking stick on that first goal? And the whole panel saying, oh, he wasn't throwing it. He was just trying to get his arm over to make a save. Fuck off. He threw. That was the most blatant throw I've ever seen. Are you fucking kidding me? Your stick doesn't go into the corner.
Yeah, if you're just trying to make the save, like, I can understand if it, like...
ended up maybe in the trapezoid, like,
yeah, like it flew, but, almost like in the air, hit the boards, you know?
Right? It's like,
and the fucked up thing is, like, let's say that there was a different Leafs player in that corner and the stick hit him, that's then a penalty.
It's a penalty regardless. You're not allowed to throw your stick.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, there's a nuance that you can't throw your stick at the player with the puck. But you can throw your stick otherwise, apparently.
That's stupid. You shouldn't be able to throw your stick, period.
The refing in this game was fucking bullshit anyways. Fucking Marchand cross-checks every single fucking player in our team every time he's on the ice and doesn't get called for shit. Like, it's absolute fucking horseshit refing has been. Like, it's just, like, the fact there was only four penalties called in that game is a joke. Like, considering the shit after the, what was it, the second period or first period, and there's only four after, penalties in the whole game?
Shout out to Wayne Simmonds for a great tilt with Foligno, because fuck Foligno.
Yeah, what a rat.
That's why he belongs in Boston.
Yeah, that's true.
But, hey, a good Toronto kid's giving him a few fucking, a few right hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see it.
Yeah, man. So we're past the halfway mark of the season. We're still sitting pretty comfortably in second place.
We're facing Tampa. Like, it's basically fucking decided, which is embarrassing for the league. You know, it's halfway through the season, and we already know who we're going to face.
You know what's really stupid, though? That we could finish second place in the entire league
and
still be second place in our division.
Yep.
Like, it's also fucked that, like, there's almost, like, for the divisional spots, there's almost no battle.
None at all.
You know? Like, right now, there is a 7-point gap between third in either division and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are the team just outside the playoffs. 7 points. Now, they're only 1 point behind the Islanders to get in, but there seems like there's only a fight for the wild card spots. There's not a fight for the division.
Well, you know why there's a fight for the wild card spots? Because it's interdivision.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid. It is the worst playoff format in sports. It's worse than baseball.
It is. It's bad. It's real bad. I don't like
it. At least baseball seeds correctly.
That's true.
Fuck. It is although frustrating.
They use a wild card system too, though. So,
yeah, but they don't have the like.
I personally think the NBA's got it done the best way.
Well, they do it 1 through 8 for the conferences, like the NHL used to do. It's like, why would you change something that's not broken?
But it was broken though. The old way was broken. You may have been too young to remember, but the old way was broken. Because the Southeast Division was so fucking trash, and the division winners automatically finished top three.
Well, that's flawed. It should just be 1 through 8.
Agreed. But that's not the old way, and I want to make sure we're clear on
it must have been like that at one point in time.
I don't think so.
If it's not, then that's embarrassing.
But it's the NHL. Everything's embarrassing. But, like, yeah. But back in the day, like, it was, like, Washington, Florida, Tampa, and like, a bunch of teams that were, like, historically bad for a period of time. And they were always finishing third. And they would have less points than the teams at 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. Because of how bad that division was, they would automatically get home ice advantage and third place. So it was still broken back in the day. It's just more broken now, which is so fucked.
It's not a hard concept. You have 16 teams that make it. You have two very good options. You do 1 through 16, or you do 1 through 8 and divide the conferences.
So should we, like, call up the GTHL and tell them how to run a league? And show the NHL how to run a league?
The GTHL actually had it right.
Yeah, the East and West of the GTHL is run exactly right. You know, 1 versus 8, come together, face each other in the finals. Like, it's done. Perfect.
You work your ass off during the season because it means you get a better chance of the playoffs. What incentive do the Leafs have to work their ass off for the second half of the season?
So they have home ice against Tampa, I guess?
That's it! Like, that's all you're battling for!
Yeah.
Like, what a joke!
It's bad. It's not good.
Like, that's it. Like, you have an 82-game season. You need to make it as interesting as possible. Not just... We shouldn't be able to predict what the series is going to be at the halfway point.
Well, the funny thing is, though, if the playoffs were going by the 1-8 format, we'd either play Tampa or the Rangers. Because they're both tied at 55 points.
Yeah, but what do the games played look like?
Tampa has way less games played, so actually... We'd face the Rangers. Which, like, do you really want to face Shesterkin?
Or Shesterkin or Vasilevsky. Like, it's...
it's a lose-lose.
But I like the team that hasn't won back-to-back Stanley Cups over the team that has.
Yeah, agreed.
But also, I guarantee that changes. I bet New York moves up.
I hope so. I mean, it's interesting. Like, New Jersey's kind of coming back to reality. I still think they can make the playoffs. I don't know whether they keep home ice advantage or not, but I think they've given themselves enough of a cushion that they'll be fine. I don't understand what's happening in Florida. Like, they're currently 3 points out of a playoff spot. And
dude, that trade was the worst thing for them, getting Matthew Tkachuk.
But Matthew Tkachuk has been playing it phenomenal.
That's not the problem. The problem is they didn't address the hole on the back end from losing Mackenzie Weegar.
True, but Weegar and Huberto have been brutal this season in Calgary.
Yeah, well, there's some growing pains. But, like, Weegar has never been an offensive stud. He's a defensive. He's like our TJ Brody.
Hmm.
Right? So you can't.
Is he worth that 7-year contract, though?
Well, I guess we'll find out in 2 to 3 years.
Like, I only want Florida to make the playoffs so that Montreal doesn't have another chance in Bedard. That's it. That's the only reason why.
Fuck it. Let them pass Tampa. I want Tampa to crumble and Florida be...
If you had to choose a team for Bedard to go to, based on the current standings, who would you want him to go to?
The Ducks.
Interesting.
Just because it would be super cool to see Zegras and Bedard.
That'd be terrifying.
And Mason McTavish.
That would be scary.
That's a nasty line.
I don't want him to go to Arizona because that would feel so bad. Yeah. I feel like if he went to Arizona, he might pull a Lindros, which would be hilarious. Like, I would. If you're him, like, why would you not? I wouldn't be against him going to Chicago, get the original 16 back rolling, or even San Jose. But I don't know. San Jose is kind of weird because there's no young players to play with them.
No. He is piece number one of the rebuild.
Exactly.
Which means he would be in for a tough few years.
Yeah, for sure. No, I would. For me, I would say Chicago because I like, you know, Charlie's a Blackhawks fan and would like to see him in the West Coast, which also aligns with Anaheim. Like, I don't want him in the East. Just don't let him be in the East. Like, don't let him anywhere near Montreal, Columbus, Ottawa, Philly, Detroit. I want none of that. None of that.
Agreed. We don't want him. We don't want him here. You keep him out West.
I want to see him twice a year, and that is it. Like, if he's not coming to the Leafs, I don't want him here anywhere near us. Send him to Vancouver. Like, he grew up a Canucks fan. Like, that'd be a
perfect fit.
Yeah, like, that'd be perfect. It'd be great for them, even though they're a tire fire.
At least he'd be at his home.
At least he'd be in the West.
So, Kian,
mm-hmm.
How's fantasy been treating you?
Fantasy has been quite up and down, It would depend on which league you're asking about.
The only one that matters, man, the Pigeon Hockey League.
Well, if that one, I'm doing great. I'm in second place.
Who's been your surprise gem?
Of the season?
Let's say of the last 2 weeks.
Whoa. Of the last 2 weeks, I would say that it is a guy who, like, we expected to be better, but had a tough start, Tyler Toffoli. 7 assists, 3 power play points, 17 shots on goal, 6 hits, and 1 block.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have said Braden Point, but like that's not really a surprise. I just kind of expect him to be a beast.
you know who my surprise was?
Who's that?
Adrian Kempe.
I dropped him, actually.
I got him as a free agent. Buddy had 6 points in the last 2 weeks, 4 goals, 2 assists, 5 power play points, 19 shots on goal, 12 hits, 3 blocks. Buddy has been money. But I'm also facing a dilemma right now, and I want your opinion.
What's your dilemma? So
I just got a news notice today that Evander Kane is close to a return.
Oh, shit. Wait, really?
Yeah. Like, he could return as soon as tomorrow.
Oh, wow. All right. And what's your dilemma?
I got to drop somebody. And I'm Kempe was my droppable guy, but with the 2 weeks he's had, I feel like that'd be stupid. And the other option is Michael Bunting, and I don't really want to drop him either because he's had 5 points in the last 2 weeks.
This might sound crazy, but I would say drop one of your extra D-men.
I was debating that. I was also floating around the idea of maybe trading Ville Husso to Braden, who desperately needs a goalie.
Yeah, no, he's been trying to fucking pry Ottinger out of me, and I'm like, there's no chance of giving you Ottinger.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, give me Shesterkin. I was like, if you want Shesterkin, you're gonna have to fucking pay. Give me Matty to chuck back at least, and then plus.
So
here's but I was looking like I would if I were you, I'd probably be dropping Noah Hanifin.
Hanifin's great for blocks, though.
Yeah, but you have good blocks across. What's like? He's your worst defenseman.
Yeah, and I have Sean Durzi.
Yeah, Durzi's outperforming him in every category except for hits. Like, and you're not going to drop Pionk because he's destroying in hits. You're not going to drop Riley because you love Riley, and you're not going to drop Barry because of how many fucking points he has because he plays with McDavid. Right? And you're looking at your offense. You don't want to drop Kempe. Right, so it comes down to either Sam Bennett
or who hits like a motherfucker. Like,
yeah, so you're dropping Hanifin or Bennett. Those are the two options for me, honestly.
I mean, Bennett, like the hits, he's got the most hits on my team aside from Ovi.
There you go. So that should make your decision for you. You know, I would say that yeah, I would be dropping Hanifin because unless you want to drop Durzi, but Durzi's been a beast. I don't know why you'd want to do that. So
no, I got him and Kempe as free agents.
Like realistically, so it would be between him and Pionk, but Pionk is almost double the hits. So like, you know, and has more points.
Well, I was thinking of maybe trying to do a trade and maybe try to pull Tage Thompson from Braden.
Well, that's what I was trying to get from him. And I was offering big time. Oh, fuck.
Like, I'll give him a 2-for-1.
Oh, I just got bad news.
For fantasy?
Yeah. Because fucking, and it's all Freddy's fault.
Oh, no.
Because he came back and Kotchikov got sent to the minors.
And you had Kotchikov?
Yeah, and he's been unreal. He was literally like one of my best pickups of the season.
And now he's out of the fucking league.
Yeah.
I'm fucking well, that's an easy drop.
Like, he has 10 wins, a 233 and a 913 with 3 shutouts.
Jeez.
And he's only played for like 2 months. Like, he was unreal, and now I have to drop him. Fuck.
Well, shall we move on to our next segment?
We shall.
Betting with the Buds.
The Buds!
And, of course, Betting with the Buds is brought to you by the good folks over at BetStamp, the only app that lets you look at all the different odds across different betting platforms to get the best odds on whatever you're betting on to make sure you get the best bang for your buck. And, I mean, I've been using it. I used it to secure that Seattle win over Boston. Mm-hmm. I was betting on that. I got great odds thanks to BetStamp.
What has been the biggest difference you've seen in the odds you've selected?
Probably 10 points.
Jeez, that's a big
right. A big it's pretty significant. Right?
Yeah, that's very significant.
But it depends. It depends on the bet, depends on the platform, and it definitely fluctuates, but sometimes it can be significant, and sometimes it's a little bit, but those little bets add up. So,
oh, absolutely.
And I mean, hey, if you lose, well, you're losing the same amount regardless.
It's true. I mean, if you're gonna make the bet, you might as well make it with BetStamp so you're getting the best bang for your buck.
Exactly. You make any good bets?
Today?
Oh, just recently.
Recently? No, I've been getting wrecked, actually, recently. Yeah,
well, I also had one.
My last win was a completely random bet boost on the Sony Open when I picked a bunch of guys to make the cut and made $26 off it. Was
Keep your golf bets out of here. We're talking hockey.
Well, the hockey ones have been letting me down. I bet the Leafs beat the Red Wings. That didn't work out.
I also had that.
I bet Nylander to record an assist and the Leafs beat the Bruins. That didn't work out.
I had the Leafs to beat the Bruins, so you can imagine how fucking pissed off I was when they got that game winner.
I had McDavid to be the first goal scorer and then the Oilers to win. That didn't work out. So my NHL bets have not been great lately.
Yeah, well, it is one of the hardest sports to predict. But we'll keep on going, and, you know, we got the Panthers up next, and you think you'll be placing a bet on the Leafs?
I guess the Panthers? Yeah, I think I might. I might have to wait till we're closer to the date to actually do so, because we're still...
It's tomorrow.
I'm stupid. What is time? What is time? I have lost complete track of it. I'll throw a bet down.
Well, you know, make sure you use BetStamp.
Definitely. All right, let's close things out with odds.
Or dads.
All right, well, I guess we can do we want to, okay, we have two options. We can do the bottom dead of December and then the bottom dead of January so far, or we can just do bottom dead generally for the whole thing.
Just bottom dead generally.
All right. Lead us off.
All right. My dud is Connor Timmins.
Why?
He's a fucking defensive liability. It's all the things that we eradicated over the last two seasons of just stupid defensive plays that were like hurting your soul when you'd see them. Like when you, like the Marinsons and Gardeners of the world who would just make a play that makes you think, what the fuck was this guy thinking? I've seen a few of those coming out of Timmins and it's concerning.
I've only seen one of those, and that was the pass from that goal on Saturday. Like, that gave me Galchenyuk flashbacks against the Habs.
the guy's young. I get it. There's room for growth. But fuck, man.
Kid's bowling almost a point per game.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about the offense. Because he's a defenseman. He needs to defend. And his defense has been hot garbage.
I've only didn't like him when he was paired with Riley because I don't think he's ready for first pairing minutes, period.
Oh, absolutely not.
But I think when you throw him next to a Giordano, like, I don't see any. I had no issues with him.
Yeah, because you got one of the most responsible defensemen of all time on your fucking wing.
Yeah, like, but that's how you manage a defenseman who has offensive tendencies. For me, my dud is Dryden Hunt.
He barely played.
He came over in a trade for a guy who actually, you know, was, you know, half decent, and he has been just a fucking plug who's taken time away from guys who deserve it. Like, I don't understand why he's in the lineup over a Holmberg or over McCann, who played one game, which actually was a good game, had his first NHL goal stripped from him from a bullshit call, and then you don't even give him a fucking chance to score. And you're playing the Bruins. Call. He's a fucking huge motherfucker. Like, McCann is like a 6'5" dude, and you don't want that guy in your lineup against the fucking big bad Bruins? And you want Dryden Hunt, who's done fucking nothing?
The reason they put Dryden Hunt into that Bruins game is because of the beef Dryden Hunt started against the Bruins when he played with Colorado. He fucked their world up. He's a goon.
We don't need goons.
Yeah, well, they're still
especially
around.
When you already have Wayne Simmons in the lineup. Why do you need two goons in your fourth line? Are you trying to make the whole line useless?
I mean, at least Wayne Simmons can play hockey.
Exactly. So like that should have been McCann, and that's why I've not liked Dryden Hunt's game at all since he's come over. I think he's just a fucking pylon.
I won't debate that.
All right. The bud.
Cali Yarncrow. Buddy's been on fire. And he's just been solid, like great utility player. And he's doing whatever the coach asks of him, and he's doing it well. And, you know, the mistakes are at a minimum. And, you know, you're starting to see some offense from him, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to say Mark Giordano.
Nice.
As my bud. Steady, reliable, one of the best trades Kyle Dubas has made, period.
And signings. And holy signing. Fuck.
Like, I can't believe we're paying him less than $1 million. But I cannot... I cannot imagine where the Leafs would be right now without Giordano in their lineup. Like, if he had been one of the people to go down, I don't know what we'd be doing. So, like, the blocks he makes, the good first passes, the being defensively responsible, leadership in the room, leadership on the bench, like, there's just nothing you don't love about this guy. So
he's still got it.
Easily my bud.
No argument there, buddy's a beauty.
Well, half within the year, we've been up fluctuating into second place in the league. We're like fourth place in the league right now. No, the Leafs have been good, generally. You know, the only things that really need some improvement is not shooting ourselves in the foot. PK could be a little bit better.
And win some fucking overtime games. Yeah, win some overtime games.
Or, you know, just keep winning in regulation. That's
fine. Yeah, or that. That works too.
But at the end of the day, you know, the Leafs got a mixed bag of schedule coming up. You know, you got Florida, which is, could be hard, could be weird, could be easy. You never know what you're going to get from Florida. Winnipeg, which is going to be really, really hard.
Yeah, always
tough. Hellebuck's been playing out of his mind.
Well, and Winnipeg always shows up for Toronto. It's the biggest game of the year for them.
Yeah, Habs mixed bag, but the Leafs tend to play like shit against them. So I'm hoping we can find a way to win that. Then we got the Islanders, which is always a fucking bloodbath.
It's a boring game. It's always going to be a boring game.
Boring. It's a boring bloodbath. Then we face the Rangers, Senators.
That'll be a good game.
And the Caps to close out the month. So we got some bad. We got some good. It's going to be a mixed bag throughout the rest of the month here.
Let's just get some W's.
I'm hoping we can get some big W's here as we roll closer to the trade deadline. And I don't know. I have this feeling the Leafs are going to take a big swing this year because it's the one thing they've never done. When it comes to the trade deadline, they've always tinkered. It's like, here's a fourth liner, here's a depth defenseman, but they've never swung for the fences. And if you look at the Tampas of the world, they've always swung for the fences. Even if you look at the Avs last year, they swung for the fences. They made big trades and acquisitions at the deadline to move their team into the right position.
Well, you got to be in win-now mode, right?
Exactly, right? And, like, at the end of the day, Dubas, like, his contract's up at the end of this year.
His
like,
job's on the line.
Yeah, like, this is your chance, right? And so, like, as much as you said, oh, I don't think they get Horvat, or, you know, maybe they get Mark Besser or Kane or whatever. Like,
if they can make that work.
I think you need to try and make one of those work.
That'd be insane.
It would be, can you imagine a line of, like, Matthews, Marner, and Kane? It'd be fucked.
Dude.
So I think that's the one thing they really need to do is swing for the fences and free in a trade deadline.
Because they'd have to get a third team involved if they wanted Kane.
Yeah, I know. But
that'd be so complicated.
But yeah, that's why you have Brandon Printem.
Yeah, I guess so.
But like, I think this is the year to make the big swing. Like, if you're not gonna do it this year, then when? You know, like I don't. I'm tired of this giving up a first round pick for a fucking mediocre player, you know? Like, I don't need another fucking Nick Foligno in here for a first-round pick. Bullshit, all right? Like, yeah. Let's fucking go out here and get
a... Well, hey, Gio's doing pretty well.
I know. But we also paid, like, 2 seconds and a third for him. So, like, not comparable, right? So I think the Leafs need to trade for a difference maker. Someone who can show up in the playoffs and be that extra bit of scoring when the big boys aren't getting it done. You know? Someone who can be our Nick Paul. You know? Someone who just happens to have a big game at the right time to help us get through. And that's what we need. Yeah. We need that. And we just don't have it right now. And I think
Cali Aaron Crow.
Fingers crossed, bro.
Watch. He's going to have some big games in the playoffs. I'm saying it now.
I hope so. But it's going to be an exciting run to the end of the year here and up to the trade deadline. I think we're going to see some big swings. I saw what the Sharks are asking for Carlson, and absolutely fucking bogus, bonkers bullshit.
Oh, of course. Like,
they wanted 3 first-round picks and only retaining 18%.
Wow.
They wanted 3 first-round picks, and we're only going to retain 18% on an $11.5 million contract.
Yeah, per year. Right.
Like, what?
Well, fucking maybe what Arizona will give it to them.
Who's the GM? It's like Mike Greer, I think. I think Mike Greer's the GM down there. But, like, bro, like, you're living in a fucking fairyland if you're thinking you get 3 firsts for Carlson. Sure, he's having a big year, but, like, come on. Like, get your head out of your ass. That's an absolutely ridiculous ask. But we'll see. It's going to be an exciting thing, an exciting time. But what do we always say? Go, Leafs, go.